Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast starts right now. Father, we thank you for your word. We just praise you. We lift and release our faith to you today for revelation from heaven.
Yes.
We open our ears, we open our hearts and our eyes. And we worship you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you join me again today in welcoming Marilyn Hickey to this broadcast?
Welcome, Marilyn.
And to Miss Gloria. Bless your heart.
Thank you,
Brother Copeland. I sure do like your outfit. Well, you keep coming up with these.
I got that in Florida.
You got that one in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I noticed Marilyn's sweater matches her fingernails.
Yes. You're so observant.
That's cool.
I'm proud of you.
That's so cool. And I think that's good. Let me tell you something, boys. Holy Ghost women, yeah, uh-huh. They're the best. Amen. Well, we've had a good time this week in looking for Jesus.
Right.
In every book of the Bible.
Right.
And we're looking. Now, just before we went on the air, this thought really came to me strong. Here we are. We've talked about the Old Covenant and really how wonderful and unique it is.
Oh.
But then you have to notice that the new one came out of this one.
Right.
It came out of it.
Right.
It's not something totally separate. If it hadn't been for this, we never would have had this.
That's right.
And if it had not been for the old covenant, we wouldn't have Jesus.
Right.
Because these words, the words of God, these words, this one hadn't happened yet. These are the words that became flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
These words here, of course they're about Jesus, but they're about us.
Right.
This is us.
Christ in us.
Yeah. It just hit me, without this, we wouldn't have this.
Right.
That's right.
So we don't need to be ignorant of...
No.
I had someone say this. I heard someone say this. They said, well, you know, why is... The New Testament... The Old Testament, New Covenant, better promises. Yes. But this reflects on the promises that were made here.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, I heard Keith Moore ask this question one time. He said, why is a $100 bill better than a $50 bill? Because the $100 bill has the $50 bill in it.
That's good. I like
it. Oh, yeah. And the New Testament has the Old Testament in
it.
Praise God.
That's right.
We need both of them.
We have to have it. And we have to have knowledge. We have to know. When the Dark Ages came in because the believers, Christian people that came out of the Gentile world didn't know anything about this old covenant.
It's true.
And by not knowing this, they didn't know anything about God. They didn't know who God was. They didn't know what He was like.
Right.
They had no understanding of Him at all. And so they just kind of made it up as they went along. And of course, they got a lot of it messed up. But not this time.
Nope.
Not today.
Nope.
Get us in there, Marilyn.
Oh, yeah. I am excited because you can really see Jesus in every book of the Bible. And when you do, it's not just seeing Him, but it transforms you into His image and you go from glory to glory. And that's why I love getting people hooked on the whole book. And that as you read the Bible reads you. And you're putting truth inside you that can become wisdom up here. So it's extremely essential for every Christian to be reading the Bible and letting the Bible read him. And so I love doing Old Testament because he's in every book of the Old Testament, and it's astounding. And I think sometimes we just throw it all out the window. Even Malachi talks about Jesus being the messenger.
Oh, yes.
The last book of the Bible. But today I want to do New Testament, and I really want to look at the Gospels and who Jesus is in us, not just about us, but in us. So I'm going to show how the New Testament breaks into four segments, just like the Old Testament does. So if we can see that, I think if you know where you're going, you know when you get there. So look at this. We see that we have the Gospels, and we have four Gospels, and we will look at who Jesus is in those Gospels. You say, for being a school teacher, you don't write very well. You are so right. Then we have history, which is the book of Acts. And so we see the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But then we have the epistles, which show us who Christ is in us. And then we have the revelation of Jesus, which, oh, I love, because we see Jesus, who he is, and how he's coming back, and who we are in him, and how to live in the last days. Now you say, well, everybody teaches Revelation different. And so who is right? So I'm going to tell you who is right. Okay, are you ready? Well, you know, the Lord dealt with me some years ago to memorize the book of Revelation. He said, I want you to teach Revelation. I said, dear Lord, I don't know Revelation. You want me to teach it? And so he said, I want you to memorize it. So it took me almost 3 years. I got discouraged and gave it up and repented and got back into it. So you say, well, who's right? Everybody's different. I'm right. No. And so in our second session, our last session, we will look at Jesus in the book of Revelation, and you will see how to behave in the last days and the miracles he has for us at the very end of the book of Revelation. I can hardly wait to get into it. But first of all, let's look at the Gospels and who Jesus is in the Gospels. Now, let me just say this to you. When I first started reading the Bible, I thought, why are there four Gospels? You know, it all kind of tells the same story.
I came in a glory one day, I said, look at this.
Yeah.
They all saying the same.
Yeah, why do we have
all the same story?
But the more you read the Gospels, the more you see.
Yes,
each Gospel gives a different picture of Jesus. So when we look at the Gospel of Matthew, there is a picture of him. And these are in Ezekiel and Revelation. And it talks about a four-faced beast or four-faced animal. And it has a lion. And when you look at the Gospel of Matthew, you see Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Because Matthew is to portray Jesus, their Messiah. So we see great authority because they were looking for the one who would come with authority. So when we look in Matthew, we see Jesus speaks to the winds and the waves. He multiplies the bread. He raises the dead. He heals the sick. He just speaks a promise, speaks the word, and it works. And when we get born again, I remember when I got born again, I was 16, and I noticed that I had authority in the name of Jesus. And I thought, wow, isn't this wonderful? You know, you think, I can speak to the winds and the waves. I can multiply the loaves and the fish. I can do all these things because I have Christ in me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so you feel like a lion. And that's wonderful. But when I studied Mark, you know, Mark is really a short gospel. It's just 16 chapters. And it is pictured as an ox. And remember, these pictures are in Ezekiel, the four-faced creature, and in Revelation, so I'm not just pulling them out of the sky. Now, what is an ox? An ox is a sacrificial animal. An ox serves. It's a servant animal, pulls loads, carries loads. And Mark shows Jesus as a servant. Now, I'm very interested in this because I think, I wonder why Mark pictures Jesus as a servant. And I really believe this. You know, Mark started out with Paul, got homesick and went home, and Paul didn't want him to go back on the missionary journey. And so I think Mark felt like he was a failure as a servant. So he really gets into Jesus and how Jesus is a servant. He held their children. He washed their feet. He constantly served. Even when you go and read Revelation, Jesus serves at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
girds himself and serves.
That's right.
When you see the picture of him and what he has on at the beginning of Revelation, he is girded with a golden girdle. That's what servants wear. And Jesus is always a servant. He died for us. He was raised from the dead. He ever lives to intercede for us. He is a servant. So Christ in me is not only an authority, but he is also a servant. And he calls me to serve. So I'm going to tell you a crazy picture. You know, my husband, when I would come home from a meeting someplace, you know, I want to tell him how many people got saved. What happened in a miracle way of people getting healing? How many people got baptized in the Holy Spirit? He didn't want to hear that first. He didn't want to hear that at all. He said, Marilyn, we're out of groceries. You need to wash. He wasn't looking for a lion. He wanted an ox.
Oh, Marilyn, nobody but you. Oh, so, that is so good.
You know, I think Jesus wants us, he in us, to serve others. So I'm going to tell you another kind of crazy story. I was on an airplane one time. There was a lot of turbulence. And the woman across from me was vomiting. She was real sick. So when we landed, the Lord said to me, help her get off the plane. You know, tell her you'll take her bags and walk her into the airport. So I said to her, I saw you were really sick and I want to help you. Could I carry your purse and your bag? She said, if I wanted any help, I'd ask the stewardess. And I think, wow, did I hear God? So I'm getting off the plane, walking into the airport, and the glory of God hit me. Literally, I felt like I was going to fall on the ground and roll in joy. I said, Lord, why are you blessing me like this? That woman didn't even listen to me. He said, but you listened to me.
That's good.
Oh, that's good.
And he wants us
yes,
to serve.
Amen.
And if you're too
yeah,
big to right. serve, you're bigger than Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I think this kind of is getting a balance out here for us. But then I'm going to skip and go to John, the next one, because I'm going to leave Luke till last. And you'll see why, so don't get nervous. When you look at the Gospel of John, it is represented as an eagle. Now, I memorize this Gospel. It is so beautiful who Jesus is. And it shows us Christ in us, the hope of glory. It takes us into an atmosphere that just shows Christ in you and that what you can do and who he is. And if you look in John, the seven I ams of Jesus are there, but he always gives a manifestation before he says, this is who I am. So in the second chapter, he turns the water into wine. Then in John 15, he says, I am the vine. In the fourth chapter, the man who comes to him about his son, Jesus says, go your way. The man goes his way, goes back home the next day. His son is healed. Now, what happened? The man went his way, believed the truth, and his son got the life. And so you see, Jesus says later in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. But he demonstrated. So many people can tell you who they are. Well, let's prove it. Jesus proved it. And then said, this is who I am.
That's right.
Oh, and then when you look in John 5, that man, you know, who was crippled for 38 years. And it says, Jesus saw him and knew his condition. And he says to the man, would you like to be whole? Spirit, soul, body. And the man is looking for an angel and a man to put him in the water. And Jesus said, arise, take up your bed and walk. And it's kind of a process healing. Arise? Hey, I haven't been able to get up for 38 years. But the man, I believe, struggled and got up. And then Jesus said, take up your bed. What? I have to bend back down and pick up my bed and then walk? That means carry me and the bed. And so Jesus tells us in John 10, I am the door. You know, folks, sometimes we're looking for, what can I say, all kinds of things to get us well and whole. But look to Jesus. He's the door to the miraculous.
Yes.
It's not my name that heals the sick. And it's not your name, it's His name. He is the door. And then as you go on in John 6, oh, it's so good, He says, I am the bread of life. And what does He do? Before He says that, He multiplies the loaves and the fish and feeds them. And then He says, I am the bread of life. So what does He do? Jesus demonstrates and He shows us who He is inside us and all around us. And that's John. It takes you into the highest atmosphere. I don't know if this is true, but I heard this, that eagles build the biggest nest and fly the highest. If you want to fly the highest, honey, let Jesus be Jesus and real inside you. Now, there's some more here. And this one I really love, John 8, 12. This woman is taken in the act of adultery. And, you know, this is very sad about her. And they bring her in and they want to accuse her. And Jesus doesn't accuse her. And He said, he that's without sin, let him throw the first stone. Well, you know, Jesus could have thrown it, but He didn't.
Yes,
He's not
right.
throwing rocks. Now, watch what happens to the woman. She gets totally forgiven. And Jesus says, John 8, 12, and it's my theme for this year, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I got so excited over this when I was memorizing. I said, oh, Jesus, your light is greater than any sin. You love sinners.
Yes.
He said,
that's right.
I am sad about some of this. I said, how can you be sad? This woman is free. He said, but I wanted her accusers as much as I wanted her. That is so touching. God so loves the world. Jesus loves them all, wants them all. And so we see He is the light of the world. Then if you remember when they're in the storm in John 10, you know, He comes walking, gets in the ship, immediately they're at the other side. And what do we see? He's the good shepherd. When you're in the storm, and He said that, I am the good shepherd. That He will be your shepherd and take you through and get you to the other side. And I want it to be immediately. It isn't always as fast as I want. But hey, He's your good shepherd. Keep Him in your boat. That's really important. And then, of course, when Lazarus dies, John 11, you know, He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He says that twice, both to Martha and to Mary. And then they go down to the tomb. And Jesus calls Lazarus out. Lazarus, come forth. He had to call him by name. The whole graveyard could have come out. And He says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out. And Jesus has some people who have really helped Him here. And I notice when I study the miracles of Jesus, it's always the servants who get in on it. You know, they poured the water pots full of water. They drew out the wine. They were first to see it. The servants took all of the clothing off out of what He was bound in. Can you imagine handling a dead man who's been dead for 4 days and he's alive? It's the servants who get on the miraculous. So Jesus didn't say, well, I will be. He didn't say, I have been.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. He said, I am.
I am.
Faith is the present
tense.
So we have
praise
wonderful
God.
John, but Luke, Luke is a long gospel. And so when you look at Luke, it's the face of a man. Well, why? Why is that? Because folks, that's the first face you see. Because Christ in us, if we'd say, oh, I'm an ox, I go to church all the time, I clean the walks, I do everything. Sinners would say, oh, you're so dull. Or if you say, I cast out demons, I have authority, I'm a lion, they say, get away from me. You might think I have a demon. Or if you say, I'm an eagle, I pray in tongues, I live in a dimension of the spirit, they think, get the white coats. What do sinners want to see? They want to see a person they can relate to. So I love to win souls. I love to do personal evangelism. And I have found, especially when I have a hairstylist in another country or someplace, you know, they always have pictures of their children. I say, oh, are these your children? Oh, yes. Tell me about your children. And you know, they'll tell you. And then we talk maybe about recipes. And then they'll say, what do you do? And then I tell them. And then I tell them how I received Jesus. And I would say a good 70% of the time I've been able to lead that person to Christ.
My.
Why? Because the face of a man. Folks, people aren't looking for these other things, but if they can relate to you, you can share the lion, you can share the ox, you can share the eagle, and those are the gospels. Are they wonderful? They are wonderful, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
This is who Jesus is in us. I can say, grr, I have authority. Speak to the weather. I can say, yes, I can carry their luggage. I can wait on them. And by the way, you are so gracious to me in your home.
Oh,
knocking on my door and bringing me coffee.
Marilyn, I'm thinking about, we're out of time. I'll just make this statement and then maybe the Lord will make it where we can say more about it tomorrow. But the lion cannot show love. The ox? No. The eagle? No. But the man.
Oh, sweet.
The man.
Oh, sweet.
Can have love in his eyes.
That's right.
Even loving animals, like, you know, like a pet that someone's fond
right,
of.
A dog.
But still, that pet cannot reveal the love of God. There's something there that is greater, because the Bible says that through Jesus, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart mm-hmm. by the Holy Ghost. And when that man reveals that, then the lion and the ox and the eagle anointing work.
Right.
You got me turned on, girl. I want to preach.
Good. That's
Amen.
Good.
We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.